IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Thank you very much for joining us. If you've just tuned in, you missed a very interesting hour. We had what's most likely our last interview with Bishop Alan McGaughian before he moves east, and a wide-ranging interview. If you did miss it, it's going to be available on our podcast or to watch back on our socials a little later on. Lots of you messaging in. Thank you, Bishop, for all your evening prayers during COVID. It really helped me. Good luck in your new post. I would like to thank Bishop Alan for being such a great Jesuit and doing so much for Letterkenny from Teresa in Muckish Avenue. Will there be a new bishop appointed in time for children making their confirmation in May? Well, I don't know the answer to that. There is some speculation too, which I didn't put to the bishop, about dioceses being merged and maybe one bishop taking over too. I don't know the answer to that question, but certainly from the bishop's answer, it's a very drawn out process. Good morning. I'm disappointed that Bishop McGaughian is moving, but understand that is the way his faith works. He came to the diocese at a difficult time and led with integrity and compassion throughout his tenure. His high level of emotional intelligence is unfortunately not so common throughout the church. I wish him well and wish him many years of health and happiness. Thank you, Bishop McGaughian. Can you ask Bishop McGaughian why he has a priest in his diocese who refuses to christen babies of unmarried parents? Well, give us more details on that. That's something I didn't see while the bishop was with me, but certainly can pursue that for you. It doesn't feel right to me. Bishop McGaughian was an excellent pastoral support to the people of Donegal in times of tragedy, when four young men died in the Gwydor area and again during the Creeshock tragedy. Bishop Alan was a pillar of support with Father John Joe Duffy, and the bishop referenced both of those tragic events. Bishop Alan, wishing you good health, happiness and God's blessings in your new venture as Bishop in Down and Connor, from Mary and Kieran, Maguire and family, and from all at St. Columbkill Hospital, thank you for your support. Please pass on our sincere thanks and God's blessings to Bishop McGaughian on his new role, as Bishop Alan brought us through COVID with beautiful and supportive prayers via webcam. That comes in from Kathleen Grant in Burt. I found the bishop to be fantastic in pastoral care, just at a time when Donegal very much needed it, says another listener. God bless you in your work every day. We are delighted to welcome you back to Belfast. That comes in from Mary Farag. Greg, please pass on our gratitude to Bishop McGaughian, who will be sorely missed in Donegal. He brought the church back to the community again. He has had a massive positive influence on my faith from the Doherty family. Will the new bishop who comes in do another clerical change around again? I'm not sure of how that might work. That's in his gift, though. In the meantime, who now runs and makes decisions within the diocese while we wait on a new appointment? As the bishop mentioned, priests come together and appoint an administrator, I think, who is not a bishop but can carry out many of the duties a bishop can. Best wishes to Bishop McGaughian. Bishop McGaughian and Father John Joe Duffy were a tremendous support to all in Creasla. We're thankful for your guidance and for the support we continue to receive from all in the Creasla Community Association. Bishop McGaughian was a reliable or relatable bishop. He was constantly visible in the community, which made us feel he was one of us. Please ask the bishop about the referendum and what guidance he would give voters. Maybe there's an opportunity to do that before he departs. I didn't see that question, but it didn't come to my mind to ask that question, because it's just was the one opportunity, really, I suppose, to be able to reflect on his time here. Though I'd be very interested in the answer to that question myself. We'll take just a couple more before we take the break. Thank you, Bishop Alan. You came to visit our uncle when he was in the hospice and you prayed with him. Sadly, he has passed away now, but we will be forever grateful for that act of kindness. God bless you, Bishop Alan. Another, a lot has changed socially over the years. What is the bishop's view of the new gender recognition laws that allow children aged 16 to take parents to court to change their gender? And what is his view on those who support giving the right to children under 16? There's a bit of conflation of where we're at and where people think we might be going in that. Not to in any way disregard that, but I wanted to read it. But obviously the bishop has passed from the studio now.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 912-6025.
Okay, it's that time of the week again. It's Tuesday, the 27th of February, and at 18 minutes past 10, we welcome into studio for Community Garda information, Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne. Thank you for your time.
Morning,
it's great
Greg.
To have you in studio.
Good to be here.
All right, lots to talk about. So we'll crack straight on with the appeals. And Garda seeking the public's help in relation to a road traffic collision on the N13.
Yes, Garda and Bronkrana are investigating this collision. This occurred on the N13 at Carrow Ray Bridge End, so quite close to Bridge End Village, on Friday the 23rd of February in and around 9:55am. The collision involved two vehicles. One person was taken to hospital following the collision by ambulance to receive treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. We're appealing to anybody who travelled along that route, very busy route, the N13, you know, from Burt to Bridge End, on the morning of Friday the 23rd, between 9:45am and 10am, who had a dash cam to make that footage available to Gardaí. We're appealing to anybody, obviously, who observed this collision or who may have seen people on foot in the area following the collision. We'd like to speak to them also. So Bunkrana Gardaí can be contacted on 932 0540.
Okay, now we're going to talk about the theft of a car from Canal Road in Letterkenny.
Yeah, so this theft, Mazda 6, it has a partial registration number of 131D3000. This car was stolen from the Canal Road, Letterkenny, between 5:30pm on Monday the 19th and 9:30am on Tuesday the 20th of February. We're appealing to anybody who may have observed any sort of activity, suspicious activity in that area between those times, to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. If anybody has any relevant information in relation to the incident or any knowledge in relation to the current location of this stolen car, we want to speak to them too. So Gardaí in Letterkenny can be contacted, or there's always the Garda confidential line. Either sometimes people aren't comfortable with ringing their local station. So that number is 1800 666 111, and you call that line, you leave an automated message. There's no requirement whatsoever to leave your own details.
All right, now details on thefts in Letterkenny town.
Yeah, so a couple of theft incidents. These occurred in the early hours of Monday the 26th of February. So the first incident occurred in around 5:05 at the rear of the retail park. A blue Ford Transit van with partial registration number of JLZ entered that area. The occupants got out. They stole a quantity of food trays from there. The van then left that area, travelled over to a car park on the Pierce Road at approximately 20:20, where the occupants then stole a 16-foot Brian James C4 car transporter before leaving the area. We're appealing to anybody who may have been in that area, you know, that general area of the retail parks, the Pierce Road, or just within the general area of the town itself, between 11:30 and 1 a.m, who had a dash cam, to make that footage available to us. If anybody observed this van in the area, with or without the trailer, we ask them to make contact with us on Letterkenny on 91 67 100, and again, the Garda confidential line can be contacted in relation to that matter.
Yeah, this is the early hours of yesterday morning, and a vehicle to trigger any memories you might have, or indeed, if you want to check any footage you might have, a blue Ford Transit van with a partial registration number of JLZ that would have subsequently, after the theft, be towing a 16-foot car transporter. Right, okay, theft from a car in Carrigans.
Theft from a car, this one, yeah. So this theft occurred at Pump Street in Carrigans in the early hours of Saturday the 24th, between 4:45am and 5am. Car was parked up at that location, entry was gained to it. This car had been unlocked, but the key was faulty to the car. They were unable to lock the car, unfortunately. A small sum of cash was stolen from within the car, but no damage was caused to it. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area who had a dash cam between 4:30 and 5 a.m. to make the footage available to Gardaí. If anybody can assist with any information that would assist with this investigation, we ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 91 67 100.
Okay, now we're discussing criminal damage in the St Johnstone area.
Yeah, this happened actually the early hours, the same date. This happened at Main Street, St Johnstone. So again, the early hours of Saturday the 24th, in and around 5 a.m. to 5:20 a.m. So again, an unlocked car was parked at that location, entry was gained to it. Damage was caused to the ignition of the car. Nothing was stolen from the car. We're appealing to motorists who may have travelled again in that area with a dash cam between 4:30 and 5:30 a.m. to make that footage available to us. We're particularly interested in sightings of two male youths in that area around the time. This goes for the previous incident also, that these two male youths, if anybody spotted them in the area, we'd like them to give us a call. Again, if anybody can assist with any information, we ask them to contact us on Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And we're just continuing to appeal today to all car owners to ensure they've locked their car before leaving it unattended. Regardless, no matter where you park it, if you park it up the main street, Letterkenny, in the driveway of your house or wherever you're parking it, always lock your car when you're parking it up and leaving it unattended, and don't ever leave cash or valuables in it.
Yeah, for sure. And I presume you're not ruling out the fact that those last two appeals may be in some way connected.
That has been explored.
Okay, right. It's criminal damage at Ard O'Donnell next, isn't it?
Bunkrana.
No, right, okay. Main Street Bunkrana. I beg your pardon. Sorry, my bad.
No, you're okay. No. So this is a criminal damage incident that occurred at a business premises at Upper Main Street Bunkrana in the early hours of Saturday, the 25th of February. Two male youths are believed to have smashed the front window of this premises shortly after 1:05 a.m. that morning. We're asking anybody that was in that area with a dash cam to make the footage available to us. And if anybody witnessed this incident, we also ask them to contact Gardaí in Bunkrana on 932 0540.
Right, criminal damage now in Ard O'Donnell.
Yeah, this happened on Wednesday, the 21st of February, between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. So two flower pots at a house in that area were smashed between those times. So quite a short time frame, and during daytime hours also. So we're hopeful somebody may have some information in relation to this one. If anybody has information, if they observed what happened in the Ard O'Donnell area, we ask them to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 9167100.
And just before we move on to some advice as well, just a recap of the significant drug seizure in the south of the county.
Yeah, so Gardaí and Donegal, they seized cannabis valued at over €600,000 during searches at an industrial premises last Wednesday in Donegal town. These searches were conducted as part of Operation Tara by the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit. They had assistance, of course, from Gardaí in the Ballyshannon district. So during the course of this search, a large-scale grow house was located with cannabis plants at various stages of growth. The drugs seized comprised 500 cannabis plants and 13.5 kg of cultivated cannabis herb. The suspected drugs are subject now to analysis by the Forensic Science Ireland lab. So we're appealing to anybody who may have information in relation to this grow house and seizure to contact the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit on 9167100, the Garda Confidential line either on 1800 666 111 or any Garda station. Mm-hmm. And the investigations are ongoing. We have an update here also in relation to a second drugs related incident. So almost €120,000 worth of suspected cannabis has also been seized in South Donegal. 6 kilograms of this drug was seized during follow-up searches conducted by Gardaí in Ballyshannon. This was on foot of the discovery of this grow house in Donegal town last week.
Okay.
So the find brings the estimated total of the drugs seized to €751,500, and over €630,000 worth of suspected cannabis was seized during last Wednesday's operation. So as always, if anybody has any information in relation to this drugs find or any drugs related activity whatsoever, we encourage them to contact Gardaí even at their local station, or contact that Garda Confidential line number on 1800 666 111.
All right, okay. Bogus callers, this comes and goes, or it's ever present, I don't know, but anyway, this appeals off the back of some contacts you've received from some members of the public.
Yeah, so we had a couple of calls just within the last week. So one caller was from within the Letterkenny area and one was within the Lifford area. The Letterkenny caller observed a male. He was going door to door knocking. Now, this caller didn't answer the door. They didn't recognise him. They weren't sure of who he was. So they did the right thing and they just didn't open the door at all to them. They observed this man then carry on knocking at a lot of other people's houses. There would be quite a lot of elderly people living in this area. So they were just very wary of the caller. Now, we haven't had any report of any offences committed. So we have to be careful to stress that point.
Awareness,
but just awareness, just to make people aware. And this caller did the right thing. They were suspicious of the caller and they contacted Gardaí. The second caller was in the Lifford area. They had somebody call to their home on behalf of an energy supply company. They felt just a bit wary also of this caller. I have actually emailed the energy supplier in question, so I'll give you a wee update on that next week, just to make sure, you know, just to verify where are those people in the area. But again, in this instance, this person did the right thing. They contacted the Gardaí when they were wary. They didn't answer. They didn't give any personal details, sorry, I should say. I think the caller was asking for account details, your personal details. Yeah. And at that point, the person that reported this to us became very suspicious and wary.
We
and
are in a space where I think maybe, and this is some people's livelihoods, by the way, so I'm not being overly critical, but you will get energy supply companies, you will get broadband suppliers, and people do call at the houses and they will call to one after the other. And the reason I think they may have to look at that is because obviously nowadays we're a little bit more cautious, but they do require to ask advice or information off you. Like I was approached by a fellow, I think he listens to this show. It was perfectly legit, but then they ask for your account number.
Yeah.
And it's just not information we're really used to giving out anymore. I don't think now it's done legitimately to find out where you're in the contract or what they can say from you.
Yeah.
But I just think maybe they might have to find a different way of doing that.
Of course. And then people that are listening to advice all the time, we're telling them, don't ever give out your personal information.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't.
So.
And then, of course, that makes them suspicious then if somebody's coming requesting. And, of course, this caller may have been genuine.
Well, that's it, you see.
So
yeah.
I have emailed. I'm going to check that out and I will give you a wee update on that next week to make sure. But we just wanted, this time of year, springtime, summertime, this time of year, we do often see an increase, though, in calls related to bogus callers. Mm-hmm. They call to your door offering, you know, when the weather's starting to pull, hopefully the weather will start to pick up.
Say,
it's not going to be great this week.
Are you moving?
It's glorious in Ballybuffet. But no,
sun always shines.
They do. The call, look, this time of year onwards, the call offering power wash and painting, selling goods and acting under false pretenses.
Yeah.
Of course, you can have someone there saying they're there on behalf of a particular company when they're not.
But even if they do, you're not obliged to entertain them. And it comes with the territory. They know they're going to get knocked back or whatever. But, you know, you're not obliged to give anyone any information that you're not comfortable with. Or if you have any suspicions about the bona fide intentions of whoever's calling. I just think, as I say, that's why I think some of these industries are going to have to adapt, because this is just going to be the thing going forward. So you've I suppose as we head into it, where the we're going to probably see those with bad intentions. So what is the advice then? What we should do? You know what I mean? Obviously, if someone pulls up in an air van or something, it might be a little bit more simple, right? But let's just say they pull up in a flatbed truck or something. And you're a bit nervous, what advice do you have as to how to engage with the people at the door?
Yeah, well, most particularly for people who are maybe elderly, more vulnerable, living alone, we would advise, don't open your door to anybody unless you're totally confident that you know who this person is or that they have a genuine reason to be there. Don't allow them access to your home for any reason. You may have a caller saying, my car's broken down, you know, I need to use a toilet, I want in to use your phone. If you don't know them, you're not totally confident as to their identity, don't let them into your home. We had instances in the past also where maybe two had called, you know, the person in the home only seen one person calling to the door, asking them various questions. Distraction burglary is actually the term for that. Their accomplice then, while this person's keeping you talking on the doorstep, their accomplice is in around the back of their house. It only takes them 2 minutes in the back window and out, away with your cash or your valuables, you know. So use a chain lock. A chain lock, you know, they're so inexpensive.
I just wonder with the sort of plastic PVC aluminium doors, if they kind of went out of vogue a little bit, if you know what I mean, but you can still attach them to them. They're great security.
They are.
Because you can open your door, you can review the situation, and you have that security.
Of course, and if somebody's there on the doorstep saying, I'm here on behalf of, I won't name any energy suppliers or any other companies, but I'm here on behalf of X company, you know, when you have the chain lock, you can open the door this amount. You can say, right, well, can I have your business card? You know, and I'll call you back if I need your services. They can still hand it to you through the partially open door.
Yeah, now we've also seen too, and this can happen over the phone and in person, that one of the ways bogus callers, as I say, be it on the phone or otherwise, they try to put us off guard is to be very intimidating or persistent or defensive at us even questioning that they might be bogus callers. But they will employ that at times. So you know, what do you do if you feel intimidated by one of these callers?
Well, listen, first and foremost, your safety is top priority. You know, you have to mind yourself. Don't mind if they're persistent. And some of these callers are persistent. They can be intimidating. They can refuse to take no for an answer. If you have the chain lock or you don't open the door, you can converse with them through the door. Contact Gardaí immediately. You know, if you encounter such a caller and you feel that they're being very persistent, contact Gardaí, you know, give as much information as possible, you know, what the person was wearing, an accent, what type of car they had, if you can, a registration number's ideal if you have that. And when they left your house, did they turn right, did they turn left? Let us know, because then when we call out, we'll know which direction, which general direction to travel in to check this person out to get them stopped. I actually had an instance at one stage there, an elderly lady, she opened her door and totally good intentions, a caller had called to her door, selling him, he said it was on behalf of a charity, and again, maybe may have been legitimate, but this lady, with full good intentions, left the man standing on her doorstep. She went inside to get her purse, You know, left him there. The door was open. He had full access to her home to follow her in. You know, he could have shut the door behind her, went in. And not only that, but also seen where the money was being kept, because he had a clear view of where exactly she went to find the money in her home. So just never leave anybody standing unattended in your doorstep with the door ajar either.
And this might be just your age, but, and you talk about door chains, and door chains obviously are very significant. But if I could also mention too, because I'm a little bit younger than you, aren't I? Oh, I'm so smart now, I can't remember what I was going to say.
Doorbell.
Camera. Video doorbell. Yeah. Like, you can get them locally here for as little as €69, right? Which is a considerable purchase, but for the security of it. There's a cloud backup included. That's the little video who calls to your house. It works at night time. You can view it on your smartphone, so you'll get an alert on the smartphone to say there's someone at your front door. You can actually speak through your smartphone. And there's motion detection if you wish to switch that on as well. So it will start videoing as soon as someone approaches you. So I'm being joking and facetious, and Granny is way younger and better looking than I am. But as an alternative, and, you know, I know people in my life who are a little bit older and they had no problem with this here. They're very intuitive. You can get a video doorbell for as little as €70, as I say. You can probably even get a little bit cheaper, but that's what you can get them for locally. It's another option. I think if my dad was still with me, I think I definitely would have got one of him, because the alert comes up on the phone and you just click it and there's a wee speaker and you speak. So it's another option. It's a considered purchase, but, you know.
They are definitely, most definitely, they are ideal, but I think a lot maybe of older, and I don't mean to be picking on the older people, but I think a lot of them maybe are a bit wary of technology, you know. Maybe might not understand, they might not have a smartphone, they might not know how to operate, you know.
Exactly. And that, and for that, the addition of the chain is a wonderful bit of security, don't get me wrong, but it's just whatever suits the people individuals. Okay,
yep.
That's good advice. So be vigilant if you're generally out in the community as well, not just having them people calling. Just be the eyes and the ears as well of your community, and the Gardaí are charged then with patrolling and protecting your community. And as well, too, there's lots of people that don't listen to the radio or don't be on social media. Sort of help share this advice with those who may not have heard it.
We just ask your listeners to speak to their vulnerable family members, neighbours and friends, and just advise them in relation to bogus callers also.
Rightio, give us a quick reminder, will you, of the Donegal Youth Awards, because there's always a big response to this and we want to make sure this year's is bigger and as good as other years.
Yeah, so the Donegal Garda Youth Awards, they're celebrating outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 from throughout Donegal. The process is open to nominate a young person, and we and the JPC are inviting the public to nominate a young person you know who is committed to making a difference during 2023 in their community. And we just ask people, I put a post up on Facebook yesterday, and we'd ask people maybe to think outside the box. You know, sometimes maybe people think, no, you know, it's not worthy of putting, you know, we want to celebrate everything good about young
exactly.
people.
Now, I think sometimes when we talk about these, the Gardaí Youth Awards, it might be an act of bravery, which is fantastic, or what have you. This is to acknowledge and recognise, and everyone who's nominated is recognised, what they do for you as an individual, as a community, as a group. And if you think about it, I think most young people do something really worthwhile and worth nominating.
They do. And I think sometimes we are a bit hard on young people. You know, we tend to point, not me personally, but as a whole, the community. But I just think, you know, actually, I'll tell you, I was down on the beat one of the days a couple of weeks ago, and I was kicking myself. I got back to the station. I had seen a young lad down the town, and he was wearing his, I'll not name the school either, but he had a secondary school uniform on. And he was down the town in one of the shopping areas, and he had was pushing a lady in a wheelchair. To me, it seemed like it might have been his mother, maybe, you know, that sort of relationship. But I was just watching him. I stood for a while and watched him, and with just total admiration. I mean, you know, for young people, image is everything. And he was there. He was as proud as punch, looking, he had his full uniform on him. And this was his mammy or whoever to him. And I watched him he was handling her with such kindness, and, you know, in and out of shops, carrying bags. And I could see him every so often. He went over to kind of lean in to reassure her, to ask her if she was okay. And I just thought, I went back to the station then, and then I kicked myself because I thought, you know, I should have went over and asked that young man who he was, because I would love to have even put in a nomination form for him.
Yeah, for sure.
So even things like that, if somebody knows of a young person, and there's plenty of them out there that are carers for family members, they help out with people who have disabilities, physical, mental disabilities. if you have a young person involved in a charity, a football or a sporting community that gives up their own free time to help with that, whatever they do, we want to hear about them. And you can get a form. Some people don't have access to printers. Look, you can print them from the Donegal County Council website, from the Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page, or from garda.ie. Some people don't have that access to print these forms. Give Letterkenny Station a ring and ask for me, or leave a message for me and I'll post one out to you. The forms are at Letterkenny Station, Buncrana, Milford and Ballyshannon. So, you know, there's no endless ways to get these forms, and please do nominate a young person or a group of young people that you know who are worthy, because it would do their confidence the world a good too to get. They must be in by 12 p.m. on Thursday, March 7th.
Okay, right. A question that came in early this morning, and I understand and respect people contacting the show, and I really wish them they do and continue to do so, and I wouldn't put them down, but it was off the back of sort of something I read a little earlier on from Drew Harris talking about people using their mobile phones and to desist from doing so while they're driving. Now, unfortunately, already this year we're seeing an incredible amount of fatal crashes. We're not even hearing about the crashes that cause life-limiting illnesses, people losing vision, the ability to walk, whatever it might be. And one of the contributing factors to that is us being distracted when we're driving, or drink and drug driving, or speeding. Road conditions are also playing a factor. The conditions of the car are playing a factor as well. But the stuff that's in our control. Now, I understand the Garda Commissioner coming out and saying this, but what we kind of tend to do is try and put the blame onto someone else or say, well, yeah, but what about them? This is about us taking individual responsibility. But that being said, I do understand why we get some of these messages in sometime. And a caller wants to know, what's the policies with the Garda when they're using the mobile phones while driving? I've seen a Garda on their phone while driving on two occasions recently in Letterkenny Town.
Yeah, and this is a question that has, I think this did come up actually before.
It comes up quite regularly.
Yeah. So Gardaí have an exemption from, while in the course of their duty, from, you know, they're allowed to use their mobile phone while driving during the course of their duty. So for anybody that does see a Garda car going past and the driver is on the phone, I suppose, look, in cases where maybe there's an emergency and extra details have to be passed on quickly to the car crew, they may receive a call. It is limited. It's only used in emergency situations, say if the guard really is compelled to answer the phone if they're on their way to an emergency situation. But as it stands, yes, guards are exempt during the course of their duty from using their mobile phone.
All right.
Driving, yep.
Garda Grainne Doherty, thank you very much for that. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 27th of February, 2024. You can listen back, of course, on the podcast. You'll be able to watch back on our Facebook page and on the Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on today. And it's back live with you with another edition after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. And I have in studio with me Marie. Marie, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate you, I suspect, stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something that you never imagined that you would do in speaking to this Egypt live on the radio.
No, I never thought, Greg, I would do it now, to be honest, now, but I'm very happy
good.
That you let me do it now.
No, we're good, and we'll take our time and it'll be fine, as okay. I say. I'm a little bit more used to this than you are, but you're going to be fantastic. Right, so this is about, really, the message to trust your gut instinct, and it's amazing how often this comes up on this programme, and it's invariably to do with medical matters. So I suppose if you can take us back, this started with, was it a scheduled appointment with breast check, or did you have any concerns, or what was the situation?
No, I had concerns. On my left breast, I found like a hardness on it. So I went into my own doctor in Stornorler, and he had a check. And he said that he would send me on to the breast check to get it looked at. So I went to the breast check unit on the 4th of September. And during that time that I was in, I had a biopsy, the mammogram and an ultrasound. So the mammogram and the ultrasound came back okay. And the biopsy was taken. There was three biopsies taken. And they said that, the consultant said that he thought everything looked okay, and that I would get a call in, I think it was a week or 2 weeks' time.
With the results of the biopsy?
With the results
and
of the biopsy.
And did that call come?
That call came, I think it was about a week after, to say that everything was clear and that I was okay.
Now, I think for I was going to say 99% of us, but maybe it's not. It's like, right, I did the right thing. I had a concern. There was a change in my breast. I went and got all three things done in the day, got the biopsy, they checked that, and go, right, happy days, that's the end of that.
Yes.
And on we would go, because we would be assured and confident in the system. So what happened then after that? Or did, is that, was that your emotion? So what was your initial emotion when you got the... Firstly, you felt reassured, presumably, after day one, but then when you got the results of the biopsy a week later, were you content with that? Did you say, all right, that's good news then?
No, not really, because it didn't explain what it was, mm-hmm. you know, and it just, it was the hardness and my own mind, I just thought, I don't think this is right.
Right, okay. Know?
So a couple of weeks later, I got a letter from Letterkenny Hospital to say that there was the week of that, the week of the 4th of September, that there was an error in the labs, which resulted in a scientific error. But that there was still enough of my biopsy left.
Enough tissue there.
Tissue left for them to check it and tell me that it was clear.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks later, sorry to recap everything,
no,
but
no,
this
no,
is,
it's, okay.
It's actually really quite a remarkable story.
Yeah,
three week odds later, they phoned to identify a mistake, which again might sort of say, right, okay, that's all right. And they had enough of your tissue to do, to check it. And then they said that was okay.
Yes.
And at that point, how did you feel?
I felt worse at that stage, because then I thought to myself, I don't agree with it now at all, because I didn't expect that to come so many weeks after the initial phone call.
Yeah.
And the hardness was still there. So in my own mind, I wasn't happy. So I wasn't. So I went back then to my own doctor about something else. And I said to him about what had happened with the breast check. And he looked up, obviously they had sent him a letter mm-hmm. as well. So he looked up his letter and he said he had never heard of that ever happening before, this scientific error. And I did have a laugh, because I said to him, trust me, the day would go wrong for mine to be in, you know. And I said I wasn't happy, that I wanted to go for a second opinion. Now, he was very good, you know, and he said to me, yep, if you want to go for a second opinion, no problem. I have, everybody should go for a second opinion, he says, you know. So I was...
And like, had this change in your breast, like, were others, I don't know if a GP checks that or if it was checked in the hospital, like, could they feel what you were talking about? Like, was it recognised that there was something there?
Oh, it was, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you could feel it. You could feel the hardness. So on the left breast.
Okay, so you weren't told, you weren't feeling something that wasn't there. Okay,
no.
That's so the GP backed you up, said everyone really should get a second opinion. Mm-hmm. So how does that work? How do you get a second opinion? Do you get referred again?
We get referred again.
Okay.
Yeah. So he asked me, did I want to go back to Letterkenny to get it done again? And I said no, that I didn't trust them, to be quite honest, and that I'd rather go somewhere else. He said, because the breast check, you wouldn't have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was referred somewhere else, I would have to pay. And I said, I didn't mind.
Okay.
Because if I don't put my own mind at ease, because I just didn't trust Letterkenny, to be honest. I just didn't trust them to do it again.
So you went to Galway for the second opinion on the 13th of December. So September, October, November, December. So this has been with you for three odd months at this stage. You had a biopsy on the Monday.
Yes.
And what happened?
No, it would have been, I think it was the Wednesday. I was down in Galway.
Right, okay,
the 13th.
Beg your pardon.
I think that was the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And he did five biopsies that day. He said there was definitely, he could feel something, you know, and he would do the biopsy. So he did do the biopsy, and he said that they would probably ring me the following Wednesday or Thursday mm-hmm. of the following week.
Mm.
So on the Monday, we got a call to say that he wanted us down again on the Tuesday.
Wow.
So I was a bit naive, thinking that it was just for checkups, you know, or more tests, you know. So we went down on the Tuesday and he introduced himself to my husband. And we went into the room, we were sitting down, and the next thing he said, you have cancer, you have lobular cancer. So it was an awful shock, I have to admit, you know. It was... I didn't think it was going. He was going to say that.
Mm.
You know, I just in my own head, I didn't think
he
was going to say.
You hadn't prepped yourself for that part.
No,
yes.
No. So it was like I went down myself, and I came out completely different. If that makes sense.
Of course it does.
No.
The original issue was with your left breast.
Yes.
And did they check both breasts in Galway?
They did. Yeah, I did an MRI in Galway, so something showed up then on the right breast as well. So I had to go, because it's quite small, it's on the right breast, they couldn't do a biopsy because the needle goes in, so they mightn't be able to pinpoint it.
Yes.
So I went to Dublin to the Mater for that. So I had that in February, can't think now the date.
That's fine.
And I had to wait for about a week and a half to get the results for that. So that was quite a long time. So when the results came back, because I said to my husband, I never want to do that again, because it was really extremely painful.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out then there was a difference of opinion, I think, between Galway and Dublin on the results on the MRI.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got speaking to the consultant again, and I decided that I wanted to get a double mastectomy. I think that's the safest way
for me.
This
is a decision you've made?
Yeah. The left breast was, I was going to get a mastectomy on the left breast, but because everything went so wrong with the left breast and the whole journey through it, I just in my head I think, you know, I couldn't do this again. You know, mentally I definitely couldn't do this again.
And is there anything particular about lobular cancer that makes it difficult to pick up?
Yeah, lobular cancer, they call it the sneaky cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can show maybe in one place where mine was, really. But when they did the lumpectomy on the 8th of January, the tumour was 10 centimetres long that they took out.
Mm-hmm.
So it spreads, but it doesn't show it. Mm-hmm. No, that's why it doesn't show up then on the mammogram or the ultrasound.
Now, have you caught your cancer early? Or how is that categorised to you?
Yeah, well, lobular cancer is very treatable.
Yes.
That's what they say.
Okay.
So it is. But I think that the consultant in Galway couldn't understand, because it was so big, why it never showed up anywhere.
And the issue we have here, not the issue, sorry, the reason why that you've made this very brave decision, I believe, to speak publicly, is that you weren't the only woman saw on that day in September 2023.
No.
So 40 women were seen that day.
I think it was around that, yes.
Ish, okay. Eight were recalled.
Yeah.
Your call back to tell you that there was a technical issue. Is that's classed as a callback, right? Yeah.
Well, that was by letter. I got that in a letter form.
Right.
So,
but your concern is it that, I mean, you've shown such determination here, right? Your concern is it that maybe someone on that day, may have got the all clear in inverted commas, to use that phrase, and yet they could still feel there's something wrong, but they don't want to question the science.
Yeah. Well, you see, I got the letter to say that there was that error, and I phoned the number on the letter that day, and I was speaking to a lady. So she told me that there was 8 women called back, and I wasn't one of those women.
Okay.
So I wasn't. So when I got diagnosed then in December, all I could think on, Greg, was really how many other women were told...
False negatives.
Yes, that, you know, they were okay.
Could just be you.
Not.
It could not just be you. And that's why you have to.
Yeah. So that's played on my mind, I think, since December.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe I'm just a bit stubborn, and I went on ahead, but I just knew myself this wasn't right.
But your stubbornness, you know? I think, you know, we never know how things might be developed. As you say, you know, lobular cancer is treatable, but you have to know it's there.
Yes.
And then, of course, I don't think even would your right breast have been checked if you hadn't gone to Galway. It might not have been. I don't know what the procedure might have been there if you hadn't gone private. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's only through your sort of determination and trust of your gut. And that's the line, trust your gut here.
It is.
That sort of has, I mean, you're still, this is a process you're still very much in.
Yes, it is.
And you've had to really make some very, very tough decisions yourself as well.
Yeah, that was... it's a tough decision now for the right breast, to be honest, but I think for my own mental health, the thought of having maybe to go through this again.
And part of you sort of goes, I can maybe hopefully get all of this done at the one time.
Yes.
And then move forward.
Yes,
rather
and
than
move forward.
The constant,
yeah.
I get you.
Because I think it just would be on my mind all the time that, you know, if the right breast, and because they had that, there was that undecided decision between the Galway and Dublin,
yeah.
And because the left side was so, we always thought we were just going down one path, mm-hmm. and this path seemed to take turns, mm. you know, and there were so many wee roads off it, you know, that it just didn't go right.
You know, I mean, it's been a disastrous few months, but wondrous at the same time, because you know, you've so much to consider. What if I didn't trust your gut?
Yes, exactly.
No one knows your body better than yourself.
No,
and that's what
I would say as well. If you think that it's not right, you know, you should say, you know, I went back to see the consultant on the 9th of October when I got the letter, and being honest, the way that I felt when I went into him and explained to him, I felt that he didn't want to see me, you know. Mm. And I told him that the hardness was still there. And what he said to me, he examined me. And what he said was that he was trying his best to find something, but there was nothing there. And I was all clear.
Yeah, okay. And as I say, you know, this is one of those double-edged swords in that we don't want to cause alarm for women.
No.
But at the same time, there's a responsibility to speak out, to say, well, I might be the only one, but I may not be the only one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Okay. Marie, thank you so much for calling in. Hopefully it wasn't as bad as you had anticipated. No, I think you've done something very important today. I wish you the best of luck with the hurdles, or however you see them yourself, that you've to overcome, and that we know you've made the right decision and you come through this and get on with things. But it's not easy to talk about something so personal, and I genuinely really do appreciate you doing so. And as I said just before we started speaking, we only really need to get through to that one person that needs to hear
this
interview, and maybe double check. Okay, listen, best luck with everything going forward, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks very much, Chris.